This is a piece of work that was performed at Delaware Valley College. I'd like to acknowledge the Department of Environmental Resources, which funded a project at Delaware Valley College for 10 years. It was two phases in which the charge was to look at existing technology out in the U.S. and the world, identify six technologies that perhaps would have merit in Pennsylvania soils and geology, and then construct full-scale installations and three replicates of these installations. The wastewater was actually diverted from the public sewer system of the college, run through septic tanks, and manually dosed. There were certain aspects of it that were hooked to farm manager houses that saw a more realistic residential type pattern, but the majority of the systems, and especially the two that I'm going to speak about today, were manually dosed at maximum loading rates. The installations were evaluated and sampled for 3 years. Phase one is what I'm going to talk about today, but in phase two, another set of parameters were evaluated for an additional 3 years. A final report was written for both phases. None of this information has been published in any journals, but the report has been provided to the state. To give you a quick brief overview, and we're going to focus in then on what my talk will be today, is that on phase one, technology A was a constructed wetland. Technology B was a recirculating sand filter that was hooked to, believe it or not, the president's house along with a couple deans. And that was a community system placed on a moderately well-drained soil. Technology C was a sand filter bank where we evaluated four different types of sand filters: a recirculating sand filter, single pass pressure dose, a gravity sand filter, and an upflow sand filter. Technology D is highlighted here because that's what I'm going to focus on along with technology F. Technology D was the effluent was a single pass sand filter effluent from a pressure dose application to what we call in Pennsylvania an at-grade system, which I'll explain later. The soils were deep and somewhat poorly drained. And technology E was a similar type of effluent with drip irrigation on a moderately well-drained soil. And technology F, which was our control for this site, was septic tank effluent to an at-grade system on a well-drained soil. It became what we call a renovated thickness technology. In Pennsylvania, we require 4 feet of unsaturated flow from beneath the application of the effluent to the soil, the bottom of the drain field, to the top of either a water table, seasonal wetness, or rock. So this research was to determine whether or not 4 feet was adequate or perhaps too conservative. In our literature search, which was the first year of the project, we did look at all the regulations of the states, and there are currently, at that time, 12 states that required 4 feet of renovation. The majority of the U.S. requires significantly less, in the neighborhood of 2 feet. So this presentation is going to focus in on one aspect. Does the effluent quality affect the transport of fecal coliform through two different soils using an at-grade absorption area? This technology F, which is the deep well-drained soil, was a fine loamy mixed mesic typocapiodolph, classified to the Lansdale series. Tech D was a deep, somewhat poorly drained soil, a fine loamy mixed mesic aquic fragiudolph, a Chalfont series. Soils were evaluated using backhoe excavated test pits. The soils were described and sampled by the staff of NRCS, Ed White and John Jaburka, and Dr. Cunningham, who at that time was retired from Penn State. Percolation tests and hydraulic conductivity tests were performed by the staff of DelVal Soil and Delaware Valley College. This is a shot of the deep well-drained soil and the sampling that it did occur. In fact, this information actually was sampled and sent to Lincoln, and so we have a lot of data that I'm not presenting here regarding the characterization of the soils. The at-grade absorption area was constructed and dosed with effluent at 400 gallons a day. Gravity lysimeters were installed at 1, 2, 3, and 4 feet below the ground surface. Two nests were installed in each absorption area or at-grade system. And the lysimeters were sampled monthly for 3 years and analyzed for the nitrogen series, total phosphorus, fecal coliform, fecal strep, and total organic carbon. The reason why we looked at fecal coliform and fecal strep was the literature indicated that the fecal strep is a little bit more robust in remaining in the environment than fecal coliform. But my talk today is just going to concentrate on the fecal coliform. To give you some idea or concept of what this at-grade system is, the system is literally built on top of the ground, so we're using the entire soil profile. Vegetation is removed, the chisel plows run through the site, and we enhance the ridge and furrow aspect by using a potato implement. Aggregate was placed then on the soil using an excavator. We did not drive on it to compress that soil, so we did leave these large ridge and valleys for good contact for the effluent to enter into the soil. That is a shot of one of the larger at-grade systems, but it shows the distribution pipes, which were 1.5 inches diameter, and they had holes every 6 feet, 1/4 inch holes. So when this system was dosed, approximately 5 gallons of effluent would enter the soil every 6 feet along the length of those laterals. And then the sampling points, a little bit better shot of it. This is the nest of 1, 2, 3, and 4 depth of gravity lysimeters in the second nest. This large box in the middle was a sampling technique that we tried that had very little success with. It was a pan lysimeter, patterned after work Dr. Fox at Penn State. And we had knockouts in this Fox box, as we called it, at 1, 2, 3, and 4 feet beneath the ground surface. The intent was to put in pan lysimeters and try to trap some of the flow through the soil profile. As you can see from the bottom of the Fox box and somewhat poorly drained soils, that's a challenge because it tends to fill up with water. So unfortunately, we had to abandon the pan lysimeters in lieu of these gravity lysimeters. The gravity lysimeters were 1.5 inch diameter pipe with the bottom portion of the pipe cut half open. A nylon mesh covered that, along with a springing mechanism that was cocked so that before we placed the tube into the soil, it was closed. And once the lysimeter was placed into the soil and bentonite sealed around it to prevent transport along the pipe, we then would open the springing mechanism and it would push the nylon mesh against the soil, acting somewhat like a wick lysimeter. So we were hoping to trap near saturated flow and not just saturated flow with our samples. So technology D was the somewhat poorly drained soil developed from Lusso residuum. As I mentioned before, it was a fine loamy mixed mesic aquic fragiudolph. We had few faint depletions at 8 inches, common distinct at 13 with a fragipan at 21. Slope range from 3 to 4. Percolation tests, which is required by the state for identifying systems in Pennsylvania, range from 70 to 197 minutes per inch, and they were done at a 20-inch depth or 50 centimeters. We did hydraulic conductivity tests using the Guelph permeameter, and they range from 0.4 to almost 6 centimeters per day, again at 50 centimeters. That's a shot of the soil at Tech D, and you can see from the top of the pan, it's coming in around this level here with the polygonal cracks. The effluent quality to this system was sand filter effluent. So we started with a BOD that was 50 to 60 parts per million. Average total suspended solids was 30 parts per million. Fecal coliform ranged from 10,000 to 100,000, most probable number. The beds were 15 by 60, and we had 3 of these. They were initially dosed 4 times a day at 400 gallons a day, which is the maximum loading in Pennsylvania standards for a 3-bedroom house. And that loading translated into 0.44 gallons per square feet. We had effluent breakout fairly quick, and we had to reduce the loading rate to 75 gallons per day, or 0.08 gallons per square foot, before we could have a system that did not have surface breakout. This is some of the data regarding the fecal coliform for the 3 years, 97, 98, 99. And the red, or I call it red, is the 4-foot depth, which I'd like to concentrate on. But just to get you squared away here, the green one is at 3 foot, the yellow is at 2 foot, and the white is at 1 foot. some interesting point. You would think that with a fragile pan, we wouldn't be seeing these spikes at 4 feet. And that's something that the literature indicates, that generally after 1 foot of renovation, in most published information, you tend to knock off most of the fecal coliform. That was not what we encountered. This is the second year, and the previous speaker talked about a biomat, so we expected that perhaps some of these numbers would diminish as the biomat matured, and you do tend to retain some of the fecal coliform within the biomat. This set of data right here is sort of what we were anticipating, that with time, the 4 foot numbers would start to drop, while the 3, 2, and 1 still would remain high. Some sampling activities, they would be dry. What we did notice was that we would certainly get during flush events. We went out once a month to sample these. These were students from Delaware Valley College who did the sampling. And we noticed that if the sampling occurred after a rain event, we seemed to get spikes in our gravity lysimeters. Tech F was a deep well-drained soil developed from sandstone residuum, fine loamy mixed mesic tipic happydolph. Had no redox features of 72 inches. Slope was 2 to 8. Perk rate was much faster, 11 to 18 minutes per inch, again at the 20-inch depth. And the hydraulic conductivity measured by the gulf permeameter ranged from 26 to 103 centimeters per day. A shot of the soil at Tech F, the Lansdale series. Effluent quality here was septic tank effluent quality. So this was not pretreated. So we started with a much higher BOD, much higher TSS. Fecal coliform were significantly higher. Again, these beds were sized according to Pennsylvania's requirements. This bed was 600 square feet. It dosed 4 times a day at 400 gallons a day, or 0.66 gallons per square foot. Again, we had breakout. So we built these things in accordance with the current regulations in Pennsylvania, but they were dosed at what they call peak flow, not average daily flow, and we had breakout. Effluent application was reduced to 300 gallons per day, or 0.5 gallons per square foot. And we have significantly higher fecal transport at all depths. This is what is currently occurring in Pennsylvania, and in fact, it's probably occurring at a much greater significance, because in Pennsylvania, if you had these sort of soils, you would place the soil probably 1 to 2 feet in the ground and marry that trench with macro pores. This system was placed on top of the ground, as I mentioned, and so you had the ability to minimize macro pore flow by placing it on the surface of the soil. As the system matured, you would think we would start to reduce back to that idea of biomat, and that's a discussion for another day, but this whole idea of biomat and renovation is certainly up for discussion. And the third year. But in all cases, if you concentrate on the red ones, in all cases, for the most part, we're up around 10,000 most probable number for fecal coliform. So some of the variables that we had to deal with, this was not specifically set up to look at the difference between these two technologies other than to evaluate specifically the technology. So certainly technology D, which was on the somewhat poorly drained soil, had a fragipan, had lower HC values, we had lower BOD and fecal coliform to start with, and had a lower application rate. Where Tech F, better drained soil, the well-drained soil, had no aquitard, faster HC, higher BOD and fecal coliform, and a higher application rate, which may explain why some of the data varied. Summary of the results, though, for that somewhat poorly drained soil at 4 foot, we averaged a little over 1,000 most probable number at 4 feet, where Tech F, the well-drained soil, which we're currently allowed to do in Pennsylvania, we averaged greater than 13,000 most probable number at 4 feet. So what we're doing right now in Pennsylvania is this, and what we're not allowed to do is this. So some conclusions. Placement of the system on the ground surface and at grade maximizes the use of the bioactive zone. Better renovation occurs in the surface, most likely due to O2 and CO2 exchange and a more robust microbial population. TSS, BOD, and fecal coliform reduction by pretreatment is needed to minimize the fecal coliform transport when you start to move on these marginal, somewhat poorly drained soils with slow permeability. Loading rates well below the measured HC value need to be to promote unsaturated flow and maximize effluent reservation. Placement of this effluent on the soil surface versus subsurface avoids macropore flow when loading rates are well below the measurable KSAT value. Aquitards such as frangipans, which classically have been thought as beneficial in restricting fecal transport, may not be as beneficial as once thought, at least from our data. Marginal soils, such as the Chalfont series, which had a frangipan, which could be used for wastewater renovation, if the effluent is applied to the surface and pre-treated and at loading rates sufficiently low to promote unsaturated flow. Flush events seem to have a large event on transport of fecal coliform through the soil profile, regardless of the drainage class and genetic soil features, such as frangipans. So additional research, this is up to Henry, is does horizontal flow with contaminant transport occur in fine textured soils over aquitards? We constantly hear this in the literature about horizontal flow at saturated conditions over frangipans. Dr. Fritton, a number of years ago, and I'm probably dating myself, but in the neighborhood of 25 years ago, did try to measure the wetting front from a system located over a frangipan and could not find it. So that leads then to the next thing. Do these systems over aquitards or frangipans actually function because of some leakage factor? And is that leakage factor the source of our fecal coliform transport that we observed? And I'd like to thank Larry Heppner, the co-author on this, Dr. Cunningham, who unfortunately has been deceased for quite a while, representatives of DEP, and my partners at Del Valle who put up with me for going to these meetings every year. Thank you.
Well, we are right on time to finish up this morning's session, but in the program we do have 15 minutes for discussions. Since some of the talks didn't get time to have the question period, so we might use these 15 minutes to, I will go backward from the last talk and back to the first talk to see any of you might like to ask any questions, all right? And so I see the hands from Patrick. You have a question for Jules?
Yeah.
Flush events, and this is just an observation, and the data to support it. These flush events must be common for all wastewater systems. And the system is sized such that it would operate under unsaturated flow outside of the flush event. Probably don't have a significant amount of people call for the transport to either call the fall pass.
If you think of like what Rick Day and Miguel did up in Lake Wall fall pass, there you might have significant lateral.
Any more questions for Joe? If not, and any question any of you might have for the previous talk by James Brasho from University of Georgia? Yes.
Yes. I'm familiar with the Cecil series. I've mapped quite a bit of it. I know down in that area, because of the land use history, a lot of them have been truncated. And there's not stable topsoil, so I'm not a particular case, I'm not sure. My first part would be, did it have stable topsoil? And if it didn't, if you had a soil similar to Cecil that did have stable topsoil, would it change that graphical analysis with the chloride and the nitrate as far as the, you know, the percolation and infiltration of those problems?
The topsoil is stable because we're on a research station that's been kind of well managed for the last 25 years.